Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking the big matchup of the weekend, the Titans versus the Steelers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend John Glennon from Broadway Sports. Johnny, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, Robbie, how are you? I was just curious right off the bat. I got to know what you guys are doing for your man Marquise here. Is his hours countdown, or, you know, is there a big steak dinner planned? Are you guys giving him gift after gift? What's happening there?
We're gonna have some food together. Gonna have some food together at an establishment later today. I'm walking in between every break and giving him a hug, and then walking back in and sitting down too. So,
hey man, don't put very that out nice. There. It's COVID's out here, man. Don't say that we're at here.
I'm sending virtual hugs.
Yeah, virtual hugs. There we go.
Through the booth glass.
I see. Good to see him recognized.
Absolutely. So, John, we had Dennis Kelly on earlier in the show, and just kind of talking about the offensive line, how they match up against the Steelers without Taylor Lewan in the fold. Obviously, never good to lose a player the caliber of Taylor Lewan. But as you look at this offensive line as a whole going up against that Pittsburgh front seven, how do you view that matchup for the Titans?
Well, yeah, you know, I guess the first thing right off the bat is how they choose to replace Taylor Lewan. You know, whether they just keep Ty Sambrillo at left tackle there, as he has been, you know, through a decent bit of this season already, and leave Dennis Kelly at right, or do you say, hey, we need our best available tackle over at left, and you move Dennis over there, and you know, maybe have Ty at right? I think what they will probably do, not a certainty, I think they'll keep Ty at left and just kind of help him out, you know, tight ends, running backs, even wide receivers chipping on guys from time to time. But you're right, this is a huge challenge. You know, the Titans have done a great job turning around the sack factor this year. You know, they were near the bottom of the league last year, right near the top of the league now in terms of sacks allowed. But now you're going against a Pittsburgh team, I think 24 sacks, three or four guys with at least three sacks. So that's going to be put to the test like no other on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Arthur, I mean, I think all indications are they're going to do what you just said there, right, John? They're going to let Sambrillo really get tested there on the left side. Dennis Kelly's good on the right side. You don't want to necessarily, you know, like weaken two spots. You're going to be weaker with Lewan out. But, I mean, I think it makes sense. And then my next question is, next time, of course, they hope not to have an injury. But if they do, then what's the move? If one of those guys has to leave the game for, let's say, even a couple snaps for a equipment issue Sunday, who comes in?
I suspect what they'll do is probably elevate David Quisenberry to the 53 or to the 55 this week. My guess is he would be the guy, and that is kind of an interesting move considering Isaiah Wilson is clearly on the roster, but. You know, my estimation, Isaiah Wilson is just still behind the curve right now, and it's a risk with him. We saw him miss practice again yesterday. You know, he's on the injury report with illness, and he has missed so much time, and he is still such a, such a raw project, unfortunately. My guess, you know, at that point, unless something really turns around here, is that Quisenberry would be next after those two guys. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Wilson is ready, but that's not the way I see it.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, one of the interesting matchups to me in this game is A.J. Brown. And one of the knocks on him last year in the playoffs was he didn't create a whole lot of separation, wasn't a huge factor in the playoffs up against the likes of Stephon Gilmore and the Baltimore defense. He's going up against the big boy corner this weekend in Joe Hayden. How important is this matchup for A.J. Brown in trying to prove that he is an upper echelon receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, it's a great challenge for him. And that was one of his big topics last year. You're right. You know, when it came to going against the top corners, you know, maybe he didn't have quite the success that he did against some of the other cornerbacks, which, you know, no real knock on him. He still had a tremendous rookie season. But this is another opportunity for him. And you know, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned separation. A.J. Brown, if you look at the stats kind of week by week, he is not a guy really in each of the weeks that creates a ton of separation. I think what makes him really stand out is, you know, he's such a big physical receiver that even without a lot of separation, Ryan Tannehill has the trust to kind of throw into tight windows to him. And he's able to get yards after the catch as well. But, you know, A.J. Brown will get a little bit of help this week, I think, in terms of the overall pass defense. Corey Davis coming back for the first time in three games. So the Titans are going to be able to spread the ball around a little bit more than they have even in the past. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting showdown here of a highly explosive offense, you know, over 30 points 4 weeks in a row against a defense that has just been rock solid and been getting after the passer like nobody's business so far. You know, a classic matchup here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's more trust there, too, with Tannehill to Brown on some of that stuff where he's covered, where maybe it wasn't quite there at times last year when teams decided to lock him up. And like you said, Davis has been playing really well, and then everything happens, and we haven't seen him in a while. But if you're Arthur Smith, I mean, he just got asked about, you know, being a head coach, and that's going to that conversation will continue to build if they keep doing well. But if you're him this week, what are your big keys here to try to solve this Pittsburgh defense?
Biggest key is going to be protecting Ryan Tannehill. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Steelers' best team in the league in terms of getting after the passer, 24 sacks, a bunch of different guys. You know, it's not just one or even two guys that are doing it, but very, very diversified. And you're dealing with the fact that Taylor Lewan, your best lineman, your Pro Bowl left tackle protecting the blind side, is out too. So you're going to have to figure out a way to help out on that left side. You know, going back to last season may help Arthur in that regard because, of course, Lewan was suspended for those first four games, and we saw a lot of chip blocks, a lot of you know, helping out, a lot of double teaming on that left side. And I think that's his number one challenge is keeping Ryan Tannehill up this week. And I think number two, making sure that running game that was so good last week. Of course, we saw the huge yardage by Derrick Henry. But can you keep that up against the Pittsburgh defense that I think is one or two against the run? That has just been outstanding in that regard, too. Do you have that patience to keep pounding and pounding away until maybe things start to break in that third quarter or fourth quarter? Because right now, nobody this year has really been able to run on the Steelers. Certainly no one has able to been put up the numbers that you know, the Titans have put up with Derrick Henry. So I think that's the number two challenge for Arthur, right behind protecting Ryan.
All right, John, so I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to choose one right now between Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, who is the MVP of this team? That's a big talking point this week.
It's quite a talking point. You know, I didn't realize it would be quite a talking point. It seems like we should maybe slow down on the huge MVP talk until maybe a few weeks down the road. But
no way, no way.
Well, it's true. You got to talk about something, right? I guess I tend to lean a little bit towards Ryan Tannehill, and part of it actually goes back to last year. You know, when you look at the numbers for Derrick Henry and how much better they became when Ryan Tannehill became the starter, I think there's something to that. I don't think that's coincidence at all. So it's a great complementary pair. You know, Derrick Henry and the play action opens things up so much for Ryan Tannehill. You know, on the other hand, Ryan Tannehill's passing pushes defenses back, you know, doesn't allow to cram them up against the line and stop Derrick Henry. But I think I tend to lean a little bit towards Ryan Tannehill. One other reason that comes to mind so far this year, we've seen four game-winning drives in five games. That is something that tends to fall in the lap of a quarterback. Ryan Tannehill has been put in some pretty stressful spots this year, some very tight games, and has come through really in those closing moments, those closing seconds of every game, which is something that the running back just doesn't generally do, you know, in those last two-minute situations.
Well, I also recall Ryan Tannehill going out wide on a third down in overtime and Arthur Smith saying, let's see, I'm just going to snap it to my running back, go win the game, and he did. But it is a fun argument. Like you said, a little early on the big MVP, but hey, we do it all year. We got Heisman favorites right now out there too, John. So on the other side of the ball, Shane Bowen, what'd you make of him today? I thought he kind of, you know, was honest there a little bit about, you know, he's got to get better, more reps as a play caller and things like that. And sort of the challenge of trying to get this whole picture to come together.
Yeah, you know, and that sort of followed up. I thought Rashawn Evans was interesting yesterday talking to the media about Shane Bowen and saying, you know, look, it's going to take some time for him to develop, you know, relationships with us, for him to get comfortable with us, and we understand that. And you have to look at the even bigger picture, I think, too, when you look at Shane Bowen. First year as a defensive play caller full-time, and, you know, he's dealing with not having an off-season, no OTAs, you know, no preseason, you know, and that's the ideal thing for a first-time play caller, is to at least have a preseason to kind of get in a groove, see what you like to do, you know, see some things at least that work and don't work. And Shane Bowen didn't have any of that. And then you throw in the whole COVID thing on top of that. So it has not been an easy path by any stretch for Shane Bowen in his first year as a play caller. But bottom line, you know, if these numbers continue, you know, he's going to come under a lot of heat because it's just not getting the job done on the defensive side of the ball. And I think he was honest, as you say, about that. He said, the more reps I get, you know, the better I will be eventually. But, you know, number one thing, I think, or, you know, probably two things for him right now, got to find a way to get to the enemy quarterback. Titans are just not getting it done in terms of sacks, and they're paying some guys some pretty good money to get there, and getting off the field on third downs. Got to get better there, especially, you know, third and long situations. It's one thing if other teams are converting third and one or two, but we've seen a lot of, you know, 10, 11, 12-yard kind of third down conversions, and that's just got to kill you as a defense and as a defensive play caller.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, last thing for you here, and I realize this is a very difficult question to answer, but I'm going to do it anyway. Look, it's a different time, it's a different league, a different era of football, but comparing the duos of Steve McNair and Eddie George to Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, we've never seen the Titans offense look quite this good, in my opinion. How do you compare those two duos of McNair and George with Tannehill and Henry?
Yeah, you know, I think what you're right on about is kind of the lead up there, that it is a different era, you know, certainly a more pass-happy NFL in general. And those are clearly the two best duos in this franchise history of over two decades. Those are the ones that stand out. You know, honestly, I think we see more explosiveness, I guess, is the word that comes to mind, from a Ryan Tannehill and from a Derrick Henry than we did McNair and George. I think the words that come to mind with McNair and George were just steady, you know, very, very good, you know, occasionally great. But I think maybe in terms of the wow factor every week, you know, what we're seeing from Derrick Henry ripping off these 90-something-yard runs every season, you know, racking up over 200 yards every season. And with Ryan Tannehill, the amount of touchdown production that we've seen, I think these two guys are probably more an explosive duo. But, you know, McNair and George were kind of exactly what the Titans needed at the time, because they were such a defense-oriented, ball possession sort of offense.
John Glennon for Broadway Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Hey, John, thanks for joining us, brother. Appreciate your insight, as always.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts on Titans and Steelers, and look ahead to a brutal Thursday night football game tonight. All that coming up. But first, during Big Night at the Museum, Modern Music Masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering at 8 p.m. on October 28th, live on Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.